Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or organization. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show. Typically, we have Alexandra Card, who is my co-host. She's a cat rescuer and public relations professional based out of Vancouver, Canada, but she is unable to make it today. So you get myself and Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio. He's the one responsible for getting us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark, what's going on with Pet Life Radio?
Well, fun stuff coming up. We have some creepy Halloween episodes on our podcast, Paranormal Pets. Our show host, Brandy, actually just bought a bright red hearse that she drives around town.
Oh, my gosh.
Let you know what kind of show that is. So
that sounds crazy. Yeah. Pet Life Radio has how many shows? All pet focused?
A total 85 shows. About half are current and the others are archived. Lately, we've had, I guess I told you last time, we just had Neil Patrick Harris and his husband, David Burka, on Rappaport to the Rescue.
Uh-huh.
We also just had, on the same show, we had Sierra Bogus, who you might not know by name, but she was the original Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
And we had fashion influencer Ivy Getty, and I'm sure you recognize the Getty name.
Yes.
He's in that family. And on Oh Behave with Ardmore, we had Nick Lachey from 98 Degrees just on, and Brandon Bruno from Hoarders.
No.
Mixture of all kinds of celebrities and fun people on all the time.
Wow. Well, you have to go to PetLifeRadio.com so that you can check out all these shows. These co-hosts are absolutely wonderful people. Love them to death. And speaking of this show, we are so lucky, Mark. We have Yolanta Smolsky, the founder of Pet Pro Media, a marketing agency dedicated to helping pet businesses thrive in the ever-evolving and confusing, for me at least, digital landscape of the $100 billion pet industry. Yolanta specializes in lead generation, sales, and retention strategies that boost revenue and expand market share for her clients. And this is interesting, Mark. She actually started her career on Wall Street, and that led to driving marketing campaigns for luxury brands all over the world. I'm obsessed. Grace Coddington, who used to be with Vogue magazine, just launched a collab with Louis Vuitton called The Catagram. This is the second year. Obsessed, but I don't know if I can. I just can't justify spending $5,000 on a cat carrier that my dog will puke all over. Or cat. And Yolanta brings strategic planning and a data-driven approach to her work and focus on optimization and maximization to help her clients unleash their full potential. So welcome, Yolanta. This is an impressive resume. And Yolanta, you know, Mark and I were just talking before the show started. There's so much happening. And one of the things you're really focused on is AI. And, you know, people are worried about it for numerous reasons. But can you tell us a little bit more, like, how should people use it, especially small pet businesses and rescues?
Absolutely. Well, first off, Mary and Mark, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an honor to be able to reach Pet Life Radio's listeners and subscribers. Thank you so much for that lovely intro. To tie into that, a little bit more insight on what I do with AI. You see, since AI became publicly available to like the general public since 2022, my mission has essentially become to help pet businesses win customers' hearts, minds, and wallets by using smart AI-powered marketing that's going to save them time and build connections and generate revenue through those business development activities, but while also maintaining themselves as the heart of the expertise and the messaging behind the business, right? Because that's what makes them especially unique, right? And unlike any other. So I do this by bringing education to different stages, speaking on shows like this one, as well as writing for different publications and doing trainings. Because what I'm seeing is that especially in the pet industry, AI is such a big buzzword, but not everybody knows what to do with it. And they come to me because they've been dabbling, they've been experimenting, they're trying to figure out, like, how do we get this integrated into our marketing workflows so that we can truly measure the impact of saving that time and then generating that ROI, right? So I've been obsessed with, you know, really honing in on that and teaching people how to do it. Because guess what, Mary? I'm going to be out of a job as a marketer very shortly if I don't personally adapt to, you know, the new innovative technologies that are coming onto the scene. Everything is changing. It used to change every quarter. Now, every single week, there's a new release on some of the big AI platforms. And that leads into the other thing, which is the complexity of which tool stack do you use? A lot of people ask me, like, I'm confused, you know, about what's actually going to work for my business. So that's why I spend a lot of time experimenting with those and, you know, really honing in on specifically for types of businesses like the pet care service providers or the small independent pet retailers or the small brand manufacturers, right? Because here's why I focus. I also present and work with big businesses, but it's the small local mom and pop businesses that need the most help, right? And they can most truly, and they can see impact almost immediately because they can do personalization at a scale that these bigger businesses can't, right? In terms of knowing their customers, they get to interact with them. This all leads back into the core philosophies around marketing, you know, about attracting that right fit client and how do you convert them? And then how do you turn that into loyalty that's going to bring back business either from that customer or from their referrals? So I love to marry those concepts with AI and show people exactly what are the steps to create those workflows that you can wash, rinse, repeat, but also teaching them how to also evolve with it, right? Because of all these new releases and updates, how to keep up and how to experiment and understand, okay, once you have this foundation, what is the system that's going to go ahead and help you optimize and maximize your marketing efforts so that you end up seeing that ROI?
Got it. So this is a really loaded question. How does a business start? How does a small business or rescue start, like, using AI? What is your suggestion to begin the process?
That is a great question. And the interesting thing is, a lot of people have already started, right? But it's that next level that is a little bit tricky. When I started educating pet professionals on AI back in 2022, 2023, most people, when I asked them to raise their hand if they were using AI on a regular basis, which could mean daily or weekly, most of them did not raise their hand. These days, when I present, and I still ask this question, you know, just to take a pulse of the room, almost every single hand goes up. But then when I ask the follow-up question as to, you know, who has integrated it into their marketing or even into their operations, right, into their business functionality, most people's hands don't go up for that yet, right? But I am basically measuring that trend because everybody has at some point opened up ChatGPT or maybe Gemini or maybe Claude AI and tried a few things and saw less than the stellar results, right? That's very a common experience where if you don't know exactly how to prompt, like what formula potentially to use, you might not be very happy with the output, right? The content that gets generated. This I see especially common for any visual generation, like images or video. But my goodness, ever since these platforms got released to the public, initially it was a slow roll. And now it's escalating really fast in terms of the releases and updates that are making it even easier. You don't have to be what they used to call a prompt engineer. You don't have to be an expert at prompting anymore. I still teach that because I think that it's very helpful to get those results much faster if you know how to feed into AI the context, the instructions, and the format of what you're looking for. I call it the prompt sandwich. Beyond that, you know, understanding, okay, how do we take this to build out your entire customer profile? How do you build an entire marketing strategy? Not just content. AI used to be very popular, especially the large language models, right? Which is your ChatGPTs, Claude AIs, and Geminis of the world. They used to be very popular for generating social media captions. But now the capabilities are so much more advanced that you're approaching agentic AI has always been on the horizon, but it's almost at the point where so much can be automated for you once you build those foundations within these platforms. So that can be scary for anyone who's starting out because it sounds very techy. It sounds a little bit complex, but repetition is the mastery of skill, right? Use AI every single day, figure out what works, and then save those prompts, wash, rinse, repeat them, and then tweak them a bit. And also another element to that I would add is when you're dissatisfied with the output that you get, tell the model that you're using, give it feedback, challenge it, and you will be surprised by what you get back in response. Or if you, you know, don't feel comfortable challenging a robot in case you're afraid it's going to come after you later on, you can simply say, hey, I like what you started with. How would you make it better to make it sound really stellar, right? If you want to be very nice to the bot.
Yeah. So give us some examples. Okay. Small pet business has never used AI before. They want to start. What would be something they could dabble in to start? Is it social media posts? I mean, what would you suggest?
So I actually have this 90-day framework that I've been teaching. And what basically it encompasses is building out a business profile, building out your ideal customer profile, and then building out the marketing strategy for top three channels, right, that you're going to post consistently for the next 90 days. Because a lot of these small pet businesses, they don't, or refuse, they just don't have the capacity to post consistently, right? And we fighting against the algorithm in order to increase visibility. And, you know, so in order to, you know, feed into that, you do have to, you can't just post and ghost once a month, right? We all know that. Yet so many pet professionals are guilty of it. And I don't blame them. They're wearing so many hats in the business that marketing consistently is a very big challenge. But that is the first, I think, big win that a small business can get is if they build their business profile, they understand what is the customer they're trying to reach, right? We're not trying to reach every single pet parent. We have a very specific niche that we want to bring into our business and to the rescue. And that's going to make your marketing messaging so much more effective because it's targeted. And then building out, okay, if these are the top three channels that those types of customers hang out on or consume, then what is the strategy behind promoting on those, publishing to them, and then building out the content for the next 90 days, just testing it out. And what I like to do is take pet awareness days or holidays, turn them into a 90-day calendar. There's, if you Google for it, there's tons of that list for the whole year, right? All of those holidays and pet awareness days. Grab those. Feed it into the AI model that you're using, right? And then generate content. I start with the outline so that you can review it. And if you're satisfied, great. But if you should find some things to tweak, AI is not perfect, right? The human eye and review is so critical and important here because AI can make mistakes. It can make what they call hallucinations. It makes up information, facts, and figures all the time still, right? Or it will assume things. So you have to catch it, right? You have to read this stuff. So that's why I always say start with an outline when you're generating content, once you've gone through the other steps that I mentioned. And then once you are satisfied with what that outline for your next 90-day marketing roadmap looks like, that I'm going to post on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, whichever those platforms are at such frequency, At these types of format of content, whether it's video or if it's long form, if it's, for example, for LinkedIn long form writing, if whatever have you, specify the parameters. What is going to be the theme and topic? What is the basic content on a basic level going to be? And then review it within the AI model, and then have it help you co-write that content. Because when I say co-write, you have to, initially might feel like you're putting a lot of time and effort, but initially, if you're just starting out, AI doesn't know your voice, doesn't know your brand, doesn't know how you want to sound to your customers. So you have to train it, right? So that's why that human review is so critical as well, is to make sure that your customers or your audience, your followers, don't catch you just copying and pasting AI-generated content on the internet, because inauthenticity is the fastest way to lose, right? So you want to make sure that your voice stays at the center of it. And then once you do that for the next 90 days, right, there's automations that you can actually integrate between a large language model like ChatGPT, especially if you're using Zapier or Make, to help you post to different platforms. If you are at that level where you're using different social media posting calendars and whatnot, there's a huge long list of those that I've tried over the years. But basically, you can automate it too. Or you can, you know, continue to post if you, for example, like I mentioned, Instagram and Facebook, you're using the Meta Business Suite, right, to publish them. There's a little bit of manual process there. But I'm telling you, once you get through this, then you're going to be excited about, okay, how can I make this even more efficient? Like, what does agentic AI look like? And that's what's on the frontier right now. I mean, it's not even the frontier. It's here already. When people first use any technology, there's always going to be some friction, right? Because it's not about tech savviness, but even when ChatGPT recently launched GPT-5, I was so excited about building a metrics dashboard inside GPT to help like measure different KPIs, and it wasn't working very well. Be patient. This is technology. It's revolutionizing at the speed of light. So be patient with it, because in case it's not as up to speed as you hope it is, because it's constantly being improved every single day. But you have to continue that consistency of using it in your business for you to develop that confidence to integrate it in the future.
Oh my God, this is all so fascinating. Mark, do you think that it's Mark uses a lot.
I use it for, let's start with audio. Like right now, you're in a room, it's a little echoey. And when I'm done with all this and I'm ready to produce this, I put it into an AI audio program and it fixes the audio and it makes you sound like you're right here in the room with me. So all our podcasts now sound like fantastic. And then if, say, Mary forgets to give me a description for this week's episode, I will take the audio and then upload it to another AI program, which will transcribe it. And then I take the transcription, I put it into ChatGPT. I say, can you take this transcription?
And wow.
Can you write a podcast summary, give me some clever titles, and in 5 seconds, I have everything I need to post. And then if I need a photo and the photo is blurry, I put it into another AI program and it makes it all clear and it enlarges it for me. And then I guess the other thing that I use a lot is if you go to the Pet Life Radio homepage, we have an AI agent. So, you know, she'll ask you anything that you're looking for. And you can type in, oh, I want something about allergies in pets. At first, it would, like you said, it would just give me like, oh, you could check out this article or this article. And then I had to tell it, no. I want you to only search through Pet Life Radio and find episodes of our shows that deal with allergies in pets. And so, you know, it takes a little while, but it gets it after a while. And now if you ask that, it'll tell you, oh, yeah, you can check out, you know, Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. You can check out ER Vet. It tells you which episodes to look for. So that's how I use it the most for Pet Life Radio now.
Wow. Had no idea, Mark, that you were this advanced in AI. That is amazing.
Be up to date on everything that goes up.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Yolanta to get a little bit more into the basics of like which program to use and that sort of thing. We will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we are back with the amazing Yolanta Smolsky of Pet Pro Media. Yolanta, I wanted to follow up on some of the things you had talked about. You had mentioned a lot of programs out there. You know, people are confused. Is ChatGPT the same as OpenAI? Is it part of it? Can you describe the whole AI landscape and what specifically do you think would be great for a pet business to start out using?
100%. This is a question that I get all the time, because if you look at the landscape, you're facing thousands and thousands of apps being released all the time, right? Anyone and everyone is building AGPT even within these platforms, right? These large language models. So there's, in order to simplify it, I like to recommend to small businesses or pet professionals, focus on your top three. And you obviously need one for text generation. And there's many out there. My preference changes quarter to quarter, to be honest with you. You know why? Because of the new updates and releases that may create friction, change the all the foundations of what I've built to then no longer be as consistent in the output. I noticed this happened, especially recently with GPT-5 in ChatGPT, which is by OpenAI. And I was not the only one. There was a lot of uproar in the AI world about GPT-5 and the fact that it changed the output quite significantly compared to GPT-4.0, which was a very impressive model, in my opinion. And in terms of, you know, being able to respond to prompts and generate really high quality output without needing so much editing and correction, right? Because we're trying to play the efficiency game here with AI, right? As well as empowering businesses to get their messaging out there, right? So maybe businesses are too overwhelmed to want to try to be consistent with their marketing, but they're not even doing emails. Let's say they're not even sending out emails, right? So having a text generation tool under your belt just for, you know, to help fill that void or gap in one piece of your marketing is going to make a huge difference, right? If you can get started on emailing your customers at least, you know, once a week, if not every few days, then that's going to be a huge game changer. Not everybody is born a writer. You know, I can't tell you how many times even myself and a lot of professionals I talk to get overwhelmed by staring at a blank page. So a text generation tool can help eliminate that obstacle. Now, my personal favorite today, as of October of 2025, is Claude AI.
Okay.
The reason for that is the output. First of all, I think that we had a really nice relationship when we talked to each other. I'm talking to Claude and it understands what I'm looking for. And so I'm going to caution about letting an AI model think for you, but it's a little bit scary because it kind of knows what I, you know, what I'm thinking without even me saying it, right? Because AI models, they've seen this pattern before. I'm not the first person to prompt it this way, or they've been trained on data that helps it understand, okay, this is the pattern this user is looking for, right? So let me generate it. The quality of the output, but also the voice. It picks up the nuances of what I'm looking for, whether I'm working on my own marketing or whether I'm working on my client's marketing. And here's the interesting thing is I'm very transparent with my clients about when I use AI, right? Transparency about using AI in your communication is important when it's, especially when it's public facing, you're actually getting flagged these days. There's a lot of things coming into place in terms of flagging AI-generated content. So you might as well, for example, in Meta and Instagram, when you can add an AI label when, for example, your copy or your visuals are AI-generated, just to prevent you from being, obviously, having your reach or visibility restricted because they caught it, they flagged it. So you want to pay attention to that. Now, I mentioned just a few minutes ago about letting AI think for you. Some professionals come to me and they say, okay, can I just use AI for absolutely everything? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, anytime my customers have questions or whatever. And I say, yes, in the form of a bot, sure. But if you are on the other side of a phone or a screen, you need to also share. You have expertise, right? Don't let AI constantly think for you or write for you. You still have to. Here's something I'm actually concerned is because this text generation, especially, is the most easy to entry level AI usage, right? For any AI user. You know, if you lean on AI too much to create not just content, but to create thoughts for you, right? Or to create your voice, then your customers are going to basically uncover that. They're going to realize that there's been a shift. They're going to catch you when you are, you know, stumbling or you don't really know what you're talking about because what AI gave you is sounds a little bit foreign, right? Even in, when you're trying to communicate it. So you have to be very careful about, I always emphasize this, AI is not your replacement. It is your partner, right? It can be your strategic partner, your creative partner. So that first level is the text generation that I mentioned, right? The other aspect, and you can still use a model like Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini. There's many out there, but those are the top three that most users in the United States are leaning into. And to help you come up with a strategy, right? So understanding, you know, so for example, we're not born marketers, right? We had some kind of training, some kind of education, some kind of certification to get us to where we are today. Most pet business owners don't have any formal marketing training or education. So when they are wearing all the hats in the business and they have to come up with their marketing plan and their marketing strategy, they have specific targets that they want to reach. I want to, you know, scale my business to X revenue or to X number of locations or expand services to such and such regions. They might not know or have the answers on how to do that. So this is where AI can be incredibly impactful because, you know, this kind of information used to be gatekept, right? You used to have to pay a consultant, an agency, a coach for this kind of information. But AI large language models, they've been trained on so much data that they can tap into this and help you devise a strategy to answer all of these questions for you. So yes, while I always recommend working with experts to you know, help you take your business to the next level because, you know, they've been doing it for X number of years. They've worked with businesses like yours and they are, you know, very well positioned to help you reach your goals. AI can be such an amazing starting point, right? In order to help you bridge that gap between where you are and where you're trying to go in your business, right? So on the strategy side. Now, when we're talking about visuals, the interesting thing is, and this is not even limited to visuals, even in copy generation, a lot of platforms that we used pre-AI, right? Pre-AI era are integrating it into their software or suite of tools. You know, we're looking at, for example, Adobe Photoshop. I remember in college taking Adobe Photoshop as a class for credit that I paid.
Yep.
Okay.
Me too.
And now a few clicks, it does it all for you. It is beautiful. It is amazing. So whatever tools you're already using, you're familiar with, look into their AI functionality. Another one is Canva, right? Canva has Magic Studio. And I know that initially when they launched AI Magic Studio, it wasn't creating much very interesting visuals, right? But now it's at the point where it is like, it can even create amazing videos. I'm not kidding. I use them in my presentations all the time because it is pretty outstanding what they can generate. Now, when you're using these different tools, I do want you to keep in mind, especially for visual generation, that they are trained on, again, on data, right? So these tools may have been fed, you know, content that is based on other artists or creative professionals' work. So when you are creating something, let's say you're using another tool that I like is Midjourney, or if you're using even ChatGPT for image generation, it's actually built into their main chat function already. Now, it's not a separate tool. If you are trying to create something like a logo or brand visuals, the unfortunate thing is it's a great starting point, but at the end of the day, it's based off of something that somebody else created. So there's a lot of legal issues coming up with intellectual property. I caution, if you are using AI to help you generate visuals that are, you're trying to make part of your legal brand material, you're potentially going to get flagged and land in some, hot water overdoing that if someone comes forward and says, like, hey, that's exactly like the logo that I designed for this company that's trademarked or whatever. So you want to be a little bit careful when you're using visuals. It's really great, for example, if you don't have access to a photographer to, create some brand photos, photography for your website or videos, for your social media, that's great. And as I said, on those social platforms, if they require you to disclose it was by AI, do it. But if you're trying to create, legally protected brand images, that's where you want to be very careful, right? And the interesting thing is, it's not that hard to design your own logo these days, right? You don't necessarily, I recommend working with a brand creative agency if you can afford it. But if you're doing it yourself, you can still do it yourself. You can have AI create the inspiration for you, right? But if you're going to trademark something, the best thing is to marry the two, right? Don't rely completely on AI. So those are just some of the different ways that I've been seeing a lot of users benefit from using platforms like I mentioned, Midjourney. Gemini's photo generator is amazing as well. VideoVeo within Gemini, you've actually probably seen by now on a streaming service or on TV an ad that was created by Gemini VO or online. Like brands are actually using this tool. So it's that good. A lot of these different tools I'm mentioning require an investment, right? So if you are a Google Workspace user professionally, it's not that hard to add Gemini Pro in order to use it for your business. And what I think is really cool is that and a lot of these tools now can read actually across your Google Suite Drive, for example.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they can read across Microsoft or OneDrive. They can tap into your different databases for your own documents, imagery, visuals, etc. But I like how well integrated Gemini is. So if you're a Google Workspace user, that's a really easy win for you. But the interesting thing is, when people ask me about OpenAI, they are releasing so many different types of things. Like they have ChatGPT, they have Sora, they now DALL-E, which was initially a standalone app, is integrated into ChatGPT's image generation. But they have an audio generator, and there's hundreds of other audio generators out there as well. But these different big platforms are trying to be so multimodal, multifaceted as possible, because the more integrated a user gets, the harder it is to leave. So when you decide to commit to one of these platforms, you want to make sure that it aligns the functionality of your business, right? So that's why I mentioned, if you're a Google Workspace user and you really like it, Gemini may be the way to go. But if you really like ChatGPT's workflows and the different apps that are built within it, access to GPTs, just to give some context to everybody listening, a GPT is basically a dedicated bot that is instructed already. It is designed and tailored to create very specific outputs for any purpose, right? So I know people who have a GPT for every area of the marketing, for their copy, for their video, for their image generation. For when I say video, I mean, like, for example, video scripts, right? You can create or storyboards. You can do that within it. For their marketing strategy or their virtual assistant, they have GPTs for, you can build your own, which is really cool.
Oh my gosh, that is just a wealth of information. But we've got to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with Yolanta. Molly, here's your dinner.
Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Yolanta. I have a question following up to what you said before. So you go into ChatGPT and like in order to like upload a document or a file, they're like, you can do one an evening, one in a 24-hour period or something. Is it worth it to invest in buying their, you know, to upgrade the services?
Sure. So when you start using a platform like ChatGPT, obviously there's a free version and it has limitations, right? Because they want you to upgrade. They want you to subscribe. So in my opinion, the first tier, the first paid tier is sufficient, absolutely sufficient. It's not a big investment. At the time of this recording, it's approximately $20 a month, right? And then they have other tiers that are accessible. They have their, you know, pro plan, which is for more, for example, if you want to do research, if you want to do more complex tasks, that's a couple $100 a month, right? So I don't recommend that as a starting point for most businesses, right? Start with the first tier. And then you also have teams. So you can actually have other users collaborate on what you are creating inside a platform like ChatGPT, right? And that's also quite an inexpensive investment. So I would say if you are enjoying the free version, just go to the first paid tier because it's going to enable you access to create projects, which I really, really love because you can then organize your threads, right? Your chats and in terms of, you know, what kind of projects you're working on, and you can, you know, upload much, much more, significantly more in terms of files and attachments. And again, if you're trying to overcome the hurdle of maybe you attached too much to a project at some point, tapping into your drive, because you can connect, there's something called connectors. So you can sync to your drive that you use in your workspace to help pull those documents or files. It makes it really, really easy. So like I said, if you're a free user, give the paid version a shot to see, because you're going to see it's actually quite similar across other models in terms of what functionality they have in the paid version versus free version. So, you know, what I like about ChatGPT is that once I'm in that first tier, I haven't hit any limits, right? It doesn't stop me, which brings another issue to mind, which is environmental impact, okay, in terms of how much electricity is used worldwide, you know, by ChatGPT users. And because there aren't these barriers in place, you know, you can go on. And it's, there's a lot of talk and concern about the environmental impact that it's having. So if you are environmentally minded, you know what I mean? Claude is one that has those barriers in place, right? So after you've used it, to a certain capacity, even in the paid version, it will say you have run out of chats for the next 4 hours, which is, or you cannot upload more files for X amount of time or project. So when you look at the philosophies of the different businesses, it's interesting. You know, Claude markets itself as more science-driven or research-driven and more ethical, right? It gets challenged here and there because sometimes people find things, interesting things that they're doing through their permissions, through their settings that might, you know, users might not be aware of. So pay attention to those things, right? If they matter to you. One common question that I get all the time is, how do I stop an AI platform from training on my information, right? The information that you feed into it. You can actually turn those settings off, right? So that way your information doesn't get filtered into the whole database. And then the other concern is information private? Like, is it secure? And what I always say is don't put sensitive confidential information out there that if, God forbid, it was leaked, you would be in legal trouble, right? Because we see that happen all the time on all these different websites and platforms. You do not want to be responsible for that. So if you are, you know, for example, building your customer profile, please don't upload a spreadsheet with their phone numbers and addresses and birth dates. Please, please. You know, that's very much common sense. Just take a couple seconds to remove that information, because here's the thing with these different platforms, you mentioned files, right? I highly recommend if you can download reports, sales reports, KPIs and metrics from your marketing, from your emails, from your social media, and feed it into these AI models, you can use it to help you analyze your marketing performance and help you pivot if necessary. To help you reach the targets that you've defined, or even adjust the content that you have coming up based on performance to boost whatever performed really well and minimize whatever didn't. There's so many different uses. And the great thing is, see, ChatGPT and Claude, they're in such direct competition with each other. They're both working at high speed to try to outdo each other in these capabilities. So, you know, my preference today is using Claude, but next quarter it might be ChatGPT. You just have to. So I like to be flexible because I also educate and teach and work with my clients on AI. But if you are a business owner, pick one, stick to it as long as you feel like it's working for you. And if it doesn't, it's not that hard to just switch to another platform.
Wow. I mean, we could talk about this for hours and hours, but let's get in a little bit about like what you do and how you can help business owners and, you know, tell us like where people can find you.
Sure. Thank you so much, Mary and Mark. I really appreciate the opportunity to bring more about, you know, AI education and information. This is a huge, huge focus for me since it became open to the public, because I've seen the kind of impact that it can make on a business, small or large, in the customers that they're reaching, in the messaging, in their marketing strategy. And so it's made my job much easier, but also much more interesting, because I started out over 5 years ago just being a marketing consultant and working with small local businesses here in New York on helping them do their social media campaigns or their email marketing. And now it has expanded so much where I'm directly involved in businesses of all size in their strategic marketing, in their planning and their roadmaps, and then also in their execution implementation. And I like to bring in different partners that I work with, that I have collaborated with over these years to help fill in those gaps, right? Because one person is not the master of all skill or all knowledge or all expertise. So I have a whole team of people that I work with inside something I call the Pet Industry Network, which I co-founded over 3 years ago. Having Pepper Media and Pet Industry Network under my tool belt has allowed me to help even more businesses, not only just, you know, working directly one-on-one, but bringing this education to stages, to podcasts like these, to publications, and, you know, getting as, you know, trying to reach as many professionals as possible, as often as possible, right? Thanks to AI allows me to do that. Getting the most new, important, current information in front of these pet professionals, because this landscape is changing so fast. So you'll see me talk on different stages in person throughout the year, as well as virtually. And then I host my own webinars, and you can learn all about the education that I've been doing and will be announcing soon for 2026 at petpromedia.com. That is petpromedia.com. And there you'll find all my talks from this year, and I'll be very soon releasing all the new amazing stuff that's coming up for 2026, because as I mentioned, AI is changing so fast. So we got to scale up, giving access to this kind of information. So I'm excited for what 2026 will bring, and to take everybody along for the ride, because, you know, there's that expression, the rising tide raises all ships, right? And I fully that. I really am committed to helping every pet professional in any capacity make progress towards their goals, specifically in marketing with AI.
And, you know, I have seen so many pet businesses that they can do their PR for themselves using AI. I have to point out, though, that, you know, a lot of them will say to me, like, OK, I wrote this press release on AI, but now who do I send it to? Right. And one thing I think AI cannot beat is relationships. Right. There's nothing better than meeting somebody in person, talking to them. I mean, I think relationships are still going to be critical no matter what happens in AI. Would you agree with that as well?
1,000%, Mary. And that's why building those relationships, having a network that you can lean on for that expertise, right? Because AI can't, you know, build relationships or, you know, it can suggest people for you to contact. But guess what? You then have to go out there and make those relationships and maintain them and grow them. So, you know, AI is an amazing enabler, but you do have to do the work. And what I love about the pet industry is that it is so relationships-based, right? It's actually quite a small industry. I can't believe after 5.5 years, how many people I know. And all these people that I have built relationships with have helped me take not just my business, but my impact to another level. So it is worth investing that time to build those relationships and to lean on a network of collaborators and experts and connectors who can help you elevate your business.
All right. Well, oh my goodness. We could talk about this for hours, but it is time, unfortunately, and we must go. And that's a wrap for this show. Thank you so much, Yolanta. One quick thing, where can people find you?
So everybody can find me at petpromedia.com. You're welcome to also send me an email, a message on my social channels at petpromedia on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
All right. Well, thank you again. And of course, we're always excited to be doing this as a service to you who are making life better for animals. Do you have a question you want to ask us in regards to public relations? Well, reach out to Alex and I on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. So as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. We'll see you guys next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.